Chapter 12. There's a flicker of uncertainty on Reuben's face. Then Mikhail steps forward and says, "I spoke to him this morning. This is the conversation we had." He takes out his phone and taps the screen. His own voice plays from the recording a moment later.
"Did you hear what happened last night?" "Another wolf attack, right?"
Reuben replies on the tape.
"I heard it was Andy and his guys. That's another 4 dead to add to this asshole's tally. When are we going to do something about him?" "Today,"
Mikhail says, and the recording abruptly ends. Reuben blinks. "So what?" "So," a tall man says, pushing out of the crowd. "I'm not dead. None of my men are. Which means you didn't get that information off the rumor train. You already knew who had been attacked." Reuben's jaw sags slightly. I don't. "And if you knew that Andy was the target," Stella says, her voice tight and angry, "and how many men were with him, that means you are the one who gave that information to the sorcerer. You set them up, you bastard!" Reuben's gaze flicks left and right, like he's looking for an escape. Before he can even move, Chris grabs him by the arm and twists him around, forcing him to the ground with a knee in his back. "That's 5 dead hunters because of you," he says, pulling Reuben's gun out of its holster and tucking it away. "You killed your own brothers, just for the sake of your pathetic pride." It wasn't like that, Reuben protests. "I did it for everyone. This poisonous brat with his golden tongue, he's brainwashed all of you. First Argent, now Aronson too. I did it to protect you. He's like a cancer, an infection. We have to purge him. I did what I had to do." "Hold the fuck up," Stiles shouts. He pushes free from Derek and starts forward, losing his temper. "What the fuck have I ever done to you that would make you think that? Have I lured you into any traps? Tricked you into trusting werewolves that can't be trusted? Promised some rosy future where everyone is friends with everyone? No! All I fucking said at the conclave was that it might benefit you guys to ask questions before you start shooting us. It's the same damn code that the Argents have followed for centuries until Gerard went off the rails, and their family has flourished and is one of the biggest, most powerful hunting families in the world. Where is the fucking harm in what I proposed?" Reuben struggles against Chris, who doesn't give him an inch. "People can tell the truth for decades, waiting for the time to tell that one perfect lie." "Then don't believe me," Stiles yells. "Don't take my advice. Don't trust werewolves. Question everything. Do whatever makes you feel safe. Tell all the others that you think I'm a lying asshole. But don't you dare try to make what you've done here about that. Don't you dare try to take the high road over me, you piece of shit. I have never hurt a single one of you, even when you hit first." "He's right," Mikhail says, but he's addressing Stella, not Reuben. "Stiles isn't the bad guy here." Stella huffs out a sigh and looks at Reuben in disgust. "Then what do we do with him?" Derek steps up beside Stiles and says, "You can debate that in a minute. You," he stabs a finger at Eli, "come take this spell off."
"We're conducting business here," Stella snaps at Derek.
"You're going to be conducting it with my foot up your ass if you don't take this spell off him right fucking now," Derek retorts. Stella's face grows tight and angry, but then she gives Eli a short, tight little gesture. The sorcerer sighs and steps forward. "Back away," he says to Derek, who does so reluctantly. Stiles extends his arm, and Eli puts one hand underneath it, then one hand over the symbol. He starts tracing the lines of the hourglass with one finger, eyes closed in concentration. Several minutes later, Stiles realizes he's on the ground. He feels amazing. The absence of pain, in and of itself, has him writhing on the floor, giving little shudders that are practically post-orgasmic. He lets Derek gather him against one shoulder, petting his hair and running his fingers over his now blank forearm.
"Oh, my fucking God," Stiles slurs into his shirt. "I think I'm gonna pass out for a minute."
Despite that, he He's struggling to his feet, and after a moment of grumbling, Derek helps him up. He lists and sways, but then gives a nod to the others. He sees the tension go out of them, all the wolves relaxing a little. But there's still a subtle anger in the air. He's about to ask what he missed while he was rolling around on the floor when he manages to tune into the current conversation, which is Chris saying, "Don't think that's the best idea." "Nobody asked for your input," Stella says. "These murders were committed on my territory, which means that by the rules you two helped create at the Conclave, I get to decide how to punish the perpetrator. And that's what I choose. Death is too good for him. Imprisonment is my answer." Stiles is about to argue that he doubts jail is a great punishment to Reuben when he sees that the hunter is pale and shaking underneath Chris's grip. "What prison are we talking about here?" he asks. It takes two tries to get his tongue in working order so they can understand his question. "Are we talking about the kind of thing Oblivion runs?" Chris slowly turns his gaze to him. He has a tight, almost nervous expression on his face, like he knows he's about to give an answer Stiles won't like. "No, it's a hunter prison. It's used for monsters."
"Since when do you guys imprison monsters?"
Justin asks, frowning. "Last time I checked, you killed first and asked questions never." But Stiles' gaze is trained on Chris. "You're talking about the prison that Ian came from," he says, and sees the blank look on the hunter's face, then waves this aside. "The fear-based shifter at the Conclave, who had been in prison for decades. You're talking about the prison where you run experiments on werewolves so you know what voltage keeps them from shifting, and how much wolfsbane will incapacitate but not kill. You're talking about a goddamn concentration camp." Chris lets out a breath and nods.
"Yes."
"Okay," Stiles says. "No."
Chris grimaces but doesn't argue.
"I can't stop you from running those places," Stiles says. "And as has been ably demonstrated this weekend, not every hunter is going to agree with my views. I think the fact that such places exist is an abomination. The fact that you were willing to look the other way while they went on, well, I won't lie, Chris, it does make me think a little bit less of you. But I'm sure we'll get over it. I'm not going to ask questions about these prisons, although you should probably know that if I ever happen upon one of them, I will be staging a jailbreak of epic proportions. In the short term, however, Reuben is not going into one."
"You are going to protect him?"
Eli sounds amused. "No," Stiles says, and pulls out his .38. "I'm just going to express my opinion. This is not Nazi Germany. Or, if you don't like that metaphor, you aren't Greek gods, and this asshole isn't Sisyphus. If he escapes..."
"You can't escape," Stella snaps.
"If he escapes," Stiles says, with even more emphasis, "he'll just come after me again. There are some people I'm willing to show mercy to, some people that I will let walk away, but he is not one of them. I'm not leaving this room until he's dead, if I have to shoot him myself."
"I agree," Mikhail says.
"Fine," Stella snarls, "but we can't kill him here. Get him up." Chris nods and stands, hauling Reuben to his feet. At the last possible second, he lunges free of Chris's grip, grabbing Stiles around the throat and wrenching the gun out of his hand. Stiles lets out a little cry, but he's too weak to stop him. He finds himself pinned against Reuben's chest, his own gun pressed into his cheek. His wolves are snarling and growling with distress, but they don't dare make a move as Reuben backs against the wall. Unable to help it, Stiles starts to laugh.
"Boy, you are really the poster child of bad decision-making," he wheezes.
"You think that using me as a human shield is going to get you anywhere in this crowd?"
"Shut up," Reuben says, pushing the gun harder into his cheek. "Everyone, get out from between me and the door."
"You really think my pack is all you have to worry about?" Stiles asks. "You'd better just shoot me now, motherfucker, because there are a lot of people in this crowd who won't hesitate to put a bullet through me if it gets them you. Hell, Chris is such an ace shot that
given the height difference, he could probably kill you without doing more than puncturing one of my lungs. Right, Chris?
Shut up! Reuben shouts, a note of hysteria in his voice. He's sliding along the wall as the wolves pace and stalk in front of him. Back off! He shouts, waving the gun at them. They snarl a little, but back away. Or how about Allison? She could probably put a bolt in your eye without even scratching me, Stiles says. You've lost, you asshole. You better just shoot me, because at least then you will have accomplished something before you die in a bloody spectacle. That's what you wanted, right? To take down the boy in red? Or is it just that you don't have the balls?
Shut up, shut up, shut up! Reuben screams.
Shoot me! Stiles shouts back. Pull the trigger, you coward! Make something of your miserable little life! Have your last moment of glory! Pull the fucking trigger!
Reuben does. There's a hollow little click of an empty chamber. A brief moment of startled silence follows, and then Derek just lunges forward, shifting into the partial form as he goes. Stiles wrenches himself to the side with what little strength he has left, and Derek's jaws sink into Reuben's throat. Blood goes everywhere. It gushes onto Stiles in a warm flood. Reuben lets out a strangled scream, and then there's a crunch of bone, and it ends abruptly. There's a gunshot, then another, and Derek's form jerks a little with a grunt. And then Chris is shouting, "Hold your fire, for fuck's sake!" And there's another shot, and everything dissolves into chaos. When the gunfire stops, several hunters are on the floor, pinned down, including Stella. Derek and Stiles are being shielded from the crowd by two layers of alpha werewolves. Blood is dripping down Justin's chin, but he gives Stiles a smirk as he stands up and shakes it off. Stiles immediately sees what's happened. The alphas, knowing that they could take the damage better, had shoved down Stiles' own pack members and gotten between Stiles and the guns. The hunters that have been taken down don't have a werewolf mark on them, but they're bruised from the butt of Chris's rifle and Mikhail's fists. One of them has a crossbow bolt in his ankle. Stiles gives Allison a questioning look. She shrugs as if to say, "He didn't stop shooting when I gave him the warning shot."
"Were any of those bullets Wolfsbane?" Chris is shouting.
And this is met with a general negative.
"Silver?"
Two of them were spiked with it, but neither made critical shots. Mikhail sits down to dig one of them out of Justin's shoulder. The other ripped through Aiden's arm and left a nasty mark, but it's already partially healed.
"You'll have to do better than that," Justin says, smirking at the hunters. Yasmin smacks him in the unwounded shoulder.
Derek got hit in the gut with the first shot, but his body is already trying to push the bullet out. Scott digs it out the rest of the way, and he snarls a little, but nods in thanks. Meanwhile, the hunters are getting themselves sorted out.
"How many down?" Stella asks.
None, Andy replies. There's a pause.
"None?"
Stella asks.
"None,"
Andy repeats. "They didn't kill any of us."
"Well, hey, you saw Derek go all wolfy and rip a guy's throat out with his teeth. I don't blame you for overreacting a little," Stiles says. "Can't just go killing anyone who shoots at us, right? That would be downright uncivilized."
Mikhail presses a hand against his face. He looks like he's trying not to laugh. Chris just sighs and shakes his head.
"I did warn him," Derek says, clutching Stiles to his chest, "that if he touched you, I would do exactly that."
"This whole adventure is making me very nostalgic," Stiles says thoughtfully. "Tracking people down with their phones, nearly needing to cut my arm off, having you threaten to rip people's throats out with your teeth. It's like my sophomore year all over again."
"I think a few things have changed," Justin says, helping him to his feet.
"Just a few," Stiles agrees. Stella's face twists into a scowl.
"You got what you wanted. Now get out!"
Stiles glances over at her as the hackles of every wolf start to rise. Then he looks down at Reuben's body with a pensive expression.
"You know, the sad thing," he says, "is that in the end, I think Reuben was right. This whole alliance thing, it's never going to work."
He looks back over at Stella.
"But that's on you guys, not on us. I can't say I didn't give it my best shot.
I thought people like Kate and Gerard were exceptions rather than the rule. But I guess maybe I was wrong. If I have to pick a side, and it's looking increasingly like I will, then it's not gonna be yours. He turns and heads for the doors, with his pack and the Alpha pack on his heels. Chris follows, and after a moment, so does Mikhail.
Are you all right?
Mikhail asks, somewhat gruffly, once they're outside.
Yeah, Stiles says. Could use about 20 hours of sleep, but I'm okay.
Why in God's name was your gun unloaded?
Chris asks.
Stiles just laughs a little.
Oh, come on, he says. Reuben trying to kill me? Who didn't see that coming?
Chris shakes his head a little. He's about to reply when another car pulls up. The door opens and Deaton gets out, looking as calm and unhurried as ever. He smiles at them and gives Stiles a nod.
What are you doing here? Stiles asks, surprised.
Oh, I heard something about a warlock in the area that was using his magic to terrorize and harm innocent people, Deaton says. I thought I would come look into it.
Stiles looks back at the building. What are you going to do to him?
Strip him of his magic, most likely, Deaton says. But it's not entirely my decision to make. He'll be brought before the Druidic Council.
When Stiles gives him a questioning look, he says,
something I've been putting together since Stone died. A governing body, to prevent the misuse and abuse of sorcery.
If you go in there, they'll try to eat you alive, Scott says. Deaton just smiles.
I think I can handle myself, he says, and goes into the building without another word.
Jackson gives them an awkward little wave, then follows Deaton, with Wilma on his heels. Stiles shakes his head a little and checks his watch. It's almost noon. He's starting to wish they had waited for breakfast. Now that the spell is off him, he's starving. He also wants coffee.
There's a pause while he thinks things through.
His brain still doesn't seem to be functioning on all cylinders. Although he supposes that has nothing to do with the spell, and everything to do with the fact that he's barely slept in days. It's an 11-hour drive back to Beacon Hills. If they leave right away, they could make it there by midnight. But there are a few things he wants to do first. And to be fair, he doesn't know if anyone will be up to driving without getting some sleep first. He jolts a little as he remembers something. Fuck! Before anything else, Mac, call your parents. You're supposed to be home tonight.
Fuck!
Mac says. And coming from her, who typically doesn't swear, several of the pack members giggle.
When will we be home?
Stiles lets out a breath. Is anyone up to driving? As it turns out, most of the Alpha pack thinks they will be. They had fallen asleep in a pile after dinner the night before. So, although Stiles had woken them around 3 a.m. to swoop to the rescue, they had all gotten at least 6 solid hours of sleep. They're used to keeping odd hours and constantly adjusting due to time travel, Yasmin says, so this is nothing new for them.
I can take a few people in my car, too, Chris offers.
They have 3 cars of their own, and the Alpha Pack has 2, but Justin says they can return one of them, since they'll only have 4 drivers. Stiles' head aches trying to do the logistics, so Lydia takes over, giving Yasmin the keys to the Jeep, Ethan the keys to Danny's car, and May the keys to her own. Ravender can drive the Alpha Pack's car. Justin, Stiles, and Derek can go with Yasmin. Aiden, Danny, and Mac can go with Ethan, leaving Erica and Lydia with May. Isaac and Boyd with Ravender, and Allison and Scott riding with Chris. Even if they don't make it all the way back to Beacon Hills, Lydia reasons, they can stop halfway and be there earlier the next day.
We need to clean up the cabin first, Stiles says,
and Ravender points out that the Alpha Pack still has belongings at the lodge they were originally staying at, and should probably formally check out of that hotel. Mac gets on the phone with her parents.
Hi, Mom! I just wanted to let you know I might be late tonight, okay?
She laughs.
No, we meant to leave first thing, but we were up really late last night, and an early start was just not in the cards.
No, we'll drive safe, I promise.
Yes, if we get tired, we'll stop for the night, and I'll call you. I promise. Love you. See you soon.
She hangs up and looks pensively at the phone.
I'll have to tell them the truth, she finally says.
I don't think this is the last time something like this will happen.
More's the pity, Stiles says, rolling his eyes.
Hey, while we're taking care of business, any chance you two fine gentlemen can go clean up the mess we made in Gabrielle Kahn's house?
I'll take care of it, Mikhail says with a nod.
Scott narrows his eyes at Mikhail.
And? He says.
Mikhail looks at him. Are you serious?
As a heart attack,
Scott says, and several people start snickering again. Mikhail stares at him for a long moment before letting out a sigh and saying,
I apologize. I shouldn't have let them put that spell on you.
His voice is grudging.
And? Scott prompts again. Nothing like that will ever happen on your watch again, right?
Oh, for the love of...
Mikhail says, and then sees the look on Scott's face, and lifts his hands in surrender.
If it's in my power to prevent it, no.
Good enough, I guess, Scott says, and then slings an arm around Stiles' shoulders and starts walking away. Behind them, they hear Mikhail say to Chris,
Did I just get my ass handed to me by an 18-year-old?
It's almost obnoxious how good a person he is, Chris agrees. Stiles grins and gets into the Jeep.
Feeling better? He asks Scott.
It'll have to do, Scott grumbles.
Stiles just laughs and slumps against his shoulder, closing his eyes. He's sound asleep long before they get back to the cabin, and the others elect to leave him there. But the sound of the door opening and closing wakes him up. He agrees to take it easy. They get the cabin cleaned up and wash the sheets and blankets of the beds they used. Boyd and Isaac go to a grocery store to replace the food they ate. The Alpha Pack has gone to gather their things from their previous hotel. Jackson calls to say he's going to go back with Deaton if they can grab his stuff. Derek gets some supplies and fixes the back door, which Ravender had broken on his way in with May. Stiles spends most of his time on the sofa, snuggling with at least two wolves and supervising. When the others return, Ravender has, as promised, procured a bottle of wine and a thank you card. Stiles jots a quick note on the inside of the card, which reads, Sorry we used your place. We got lost and were freezing and freaked out. We replaced everything we ate and washed everything we used. Please accept this as a thank you gift. Then he has all of them sign it, first names only. While the others are loading up the car, he says to Justin, You guys should stay a few days in Beacon Hills. You know, lay low for a little while. Crash at my place.
Sounds good to me, Justin says. I think we could all use the downtime.
You haven't been there since we built the den, Stiles says. You'll like it. He looks pensively at the bottle of wine and the card, which he's left on the kitchen table, front and center. We're the good guys, right? Justin frowns a little.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, we didn't have to do this, Stiles says, gesturing to the wine. We cleaned up, we replaced everything we used. They probably would have never even known we were here. They clearly only come here in the summer. Even if we moved some shit around, who's gonna remember where they left the TV remote when they left 9 months ago?
Yeah, Justin says. I mean, I want to be the good guy. I know that my job is to rule with an iron fist and shit, but it just seemed like doing it that way wasn't working.
I like the way you're doing it now, Stiles offers.
Thanks, Justin says. I thought the whole Hunter Alliance thing wasn't a bad idea.
Too bad, it's clearly never going to work, Stiles says.
I don't know about that, Justin replies. From what I've heard, it seems more and more like the Hunters are splitting into two factions. The ones like Argent's and the ones like we met today. He shrugs. Time will tell, but I don't know if we can ever break it down into good guys and bad guys. Things aren't morally black and white like that. Not in our world.
I guess you're right, Stiles says with a sigh. All we can do is try to do what we think is right.
Yeah.
Justin yawns and stretches.
Come on. I beat. Let's try to put some miles behind us before we stop for the night.